I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians. In our ongoing series in the book of 1 Corinthians, we had noted last week the whole discontinuity of having somebody who is of an adult age or an adult years, but they're still nursing on a bottle. Or to have a teenager come to his or her mother and say, "I'm tired, pick me up, would you carry me?" And we look at those things and say, well, that's ridiculous, that would never happen. But the Apostle Paul, addressing the church at Corinth, says that's the very thing that's happening spiritually of the believers in Corinth. That though they should have been matured, so they should have had things, they were operating as little babies. And they had to have their pacifier. They had to have mama pick them up and carry them. It was a point of great difficulty. But as we come today, last week we saw this whole matter of the Apostle Paul saying, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Everyone within the body of Christ has a responsibility to do. But it is only God who enables the work to grow. It is only God that enables the heart to grow and to develop before Him. But then He shifts. And He comes to this matter of planting. Verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Labor. Having grown up in a home where my father was bivocational, I have an appreciation for the two sides of the coin that he describes. 8 hours a day, my dad worked under the union shop in the steel mill in the United States, in one of the steel mills near our home outside of Pittsburgh. The rest of his time was divided between farm, his family, and the church. Now, we profited from many of the gains enabled by the labor unions, but we also saw much of the corruption that invaded those entities. When there was no accountability, labor unions grow to develop their own mindset, and they say, "Nobody's going to tell us what to do." My own father suffered at the hands of standing against the accepted labor union and saying, "This is wrong. Here's what your constitution says. Here's what you are to do." And they said, "You will shut up." And he said, "No, I will not shut up." And I remember a man telling me as a young boy of standing with a hammer and saying, "Martin, I'm going to kill you." And my father standing and saying, "Here I stand. Throw it." And he said, the whole room was filled. But my father dared to say, "My labor is ultimately unto the Lord and not to you nor to any labor union." My dad was still alive and my dad outlived that man named Dominic. I will not give his last name because obviously this is recorded and so on. But Dominic's family, I don't want that. There are lots of Dominics in the Pittsburgh area and lots of Dominics in that point in time, so that I'm safe on that. But those that know that count know what took place. The Apostle Paul comes and he says, life and labor differ. But we are responsible for how we work and how we do what we do in the opportunities that we have. And so we come to our text today. I want you to notice three things with me from our passage as we look at the Word of God together today. Number one, our responsibility for labor. Our responsibility for labor. Verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Labor is often seen as a bad word. It's one of those things where many people decide, well, I can't wait till I get to the point where I retire. And when I retire, I'll go golfing, boating, I'll go on cruises, I will just travel the world, I will do nothing. Some see labor as an effect of the fall. They see it as the result of sin, and so as a result of the sin, then they have to go to work. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and I'm at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Help me. Is Genesis 2 before Genesis chapter 3 or after Genesis chapter 3? This is not a hard question. It's before Genesis chapter 3. It is before the fall. And in God's initial assignment to Adam, He assigned him to work. Notice what it says. Verse 15, He took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And that was not, dear ones, simply to put clothes on the garden. That meant he had to cultivate it. He had that responsibility of caring for it, of making sure that things were growing as they properly should in the garden. In the unfallen world, yes. So work predates Genesis chapter 3. For others, work is a necessary evil. It's summarized by the bumper sticker that says, "I owe, I owe, I owe, so off to work I go." Or there's the description of the three stonemasons in Germany that Dr. McCrae used to tell about. He said the person went out and asked the three stonemasons, "What are you doing?" And the one man said, "I'm working for so many francs an hour." The other man said, "I'm laying stone. What do you expect? That's what I'm doing." A third man came and said, "I'm building a cathedral. And one day people are going to gather to worship the very God who is their creator in this place." The same work, but radically different perspectives in what they were doing. One simply saw it as a way to get some money. Another one, "They're doing a job. Get it over with." But there was another who had a higher perspective. When I think of the term in terms of retirement, I am guilty of doing what so many of you have heard me do over and over. I quote Timothy Toe. Timothy Toe, and his daughter is here and she can vouch for me, what was your dad's view of retirement? That, you saw her head. She shook back and forth. He didn't believe in it. He said that in Malaysia that they took the burrow and they used the burrow and they go clop 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 up the hill until all of a sudden the burrow, the donkey finally falls over, and then they run over and they skin it out to use the skin. And he said that's what he wanted to do all of his days. Oh, he's had an impact in my life too. I trust that he will have an impact in your life for you to think about that too. Our responsibility for labor, some see it as a bad word. Some see it as a necessary evil. But I want to come down to this point that labor, work, is an inescapable responsibility. Notice what the text says. Come again with me to the text. He says, and the Lord God, I'm sorry, wrong passage. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm at the right verse, but the wrong chapter, the wrong book of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, verse 8. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are, what's the next word, dear ones? Oh, come on, this is a Presbyterian church, we believe the Bible, come on, let's come again. Verse 9, for we are what? That's beginning to sound like it, okay. We are laborers together with God. There is no escape. But notice the dynamic that he uses. He says, we are laborers together with God. When I was a boy, I had to work in the cornfields of hoeing corn. It was one thing when I was hoeing for my dad. My dad was off at the steel mill and so forth, and then he would come home from the steel mill to check on how our hoeing had been. And I'm here to tell you that my hoeing was not as diligent when I was working for my dad as when my dad was standing there hoeing beside me. When I was aware that Dad was there, my, it was amazing how good my hoeing was and how careful I was not to chop any corn stalks off and not to miss any weeds and not to try to cover them over. No. Because I knew that Dad was there and he was working with me. Now come back to the text. Notice what he says. We are laborers together, not for God. The preposition there is, we are laborers together with God. So our labor and our work is done in the presence and under the eye of God all the time. So it's not a point where God is off at another job and he comes back to check on it. No. We are laborers together with God. Every Christian has as his or her primary vocation serving Christ. You may be a builder, you may be a homemaker, you may be a professor, you may be a minister, you may be a farmer or a baggage handler or some other thing to pay your bills. But ultimately, dear one, you and I are accountable to God for what we do and how we do it. Yesterday, we were cleaning, we had to take the decorations down from the wedding. And we were cleaning. I was the guy that got the short straw, as they sent out on the WhatsApp. They said, whoever gets the short straw has to go up the ladder and take the things down. Well, I got the short straw, and I went up, and I cleaned. And I found, I got literally in a bag, 2 inches of dirt that I cleaned off the top of the beam there. And someone said, well, Dr. Martin, why are you bothering to do that? It's probably been there since the building was made. But I was reminded of being at the Parthenon in Greece and of them telling how that the people who were doing the work on building the Parthenon, actually when they were up on the top, they made their work careful even though no human would see it. But they said, we're doing our best because the gods, these were pagans, the gods will see it. Oh, well, dear one, how much more we should be concerned when the God, the true and living God, sees what we are doing and knows what we are doing. If you are alive, you have a job to do. And again, I come back to what my dear brother and teacher Timothy Toe said. Clop, 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 clop. Keep going until you come to the end. I probably don't have the clop, clop quite the way he had it, but I do remember him. I've heard him many times tell of that in person and on the phone. Number two, the resources for our labor. The resources for our labor. Notice verses 9, 10, and 11. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The resources of our labor. We are God's fellow workers. God is working in us as we work for Him. God has given you unique abilities to serve Him. And by His grace, He has given these things to you. But then, God has provided the foundation in Christ. Look with me at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You may put something else as your foundation, and it is going to fracture and it's going to pulverize. But when the foundation is our Lord Jesus Christ, you can accomplish something of eternal value every day for the glory of God. But as I describe that, I'm indebted to Jeffrey Koo on a point that I'm reading from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Our son was a teenager. And when he was a teenager, he's now an officer in the U.S. Navy. We just heard from him. They pulled into port in a place in the Persian Gulf. I heard from him yesterday. As I reflected on that, I was reminded of the time when he, as a boy, had earned some money. And he came to me and he said, "Dad," he said, "could I send that to Dr. Toe?" I said, "Yes, you certainly may." Well, Timothy Toe wasn't going to miss a beat on that. He gets this, and a teenager sends a gift to Far Eastern Bible College, Life Bible Presbyterian Church, and to help in the ministry. Yeah, that's right. Almost 20 years ago. And my boy heard from Timothy Toe. And Timothy Toe, what did he do? He sent a stack of blue books written by his son-in-law on the Westminster studies in the Westminster Confession of Faith. And so my son said, "Hey, Dad, can we study the Westminster Confession of Faith?" And at the Bible Presbyterian Church where I was pastoring outside of Pittsburgh, we passed out Jeffrey Koo's books and we studied the Westminster Confession of Faith. I'm going to read a couple of lines from the Westminster Confession of Faith this morning. "The light of nature showeth that there is a God who hath lordship and sovereignty over all, is good and doth good unto all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the might. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will, that he may not be worshipped according to the imagination of the devices of men or the suggestions of Satan under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in Holy Scriptures." I want you to note in the middle of that, I'm in chapter 21 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and it says that God, who hath lordship and sovereignty over all, is good and doth good unto all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the might. Wise words. They had been studying 1 Corinthians 3 at some point when they wrote that, tying together this whole matter of our responsibility and then God being the one who enables us to work. We do that through the work of Christ. I come to my third point, and that is the review of our labor. The review of our labor. I'm at verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." My question that I come to this passage with is, what is it that we are doing? The review of our labor. The review of our labor. When I think of the review of our labor, yeah, we are responsible to work. The resources are available. God is the one who provides them. But there is one day where He's going to call us into account and He is going to review our work. What have you done with the time that God has given to you? And how have you lived and how have you invested your life? Or how have you failed to invest your life in that window of time? Take care how you build and what you build. Children, I've given you on the children's bulletin a little box there for you to draw a picture and to say today, instead of me having you do a puzzle or something else on the bulletin, I'm asking you to draw a picture of what it is that you're building of your life for the glory of God. What do you aspire to do for the glory of God? Near Miami, Florida, during the recession in the mid-70s, I heard the account of a man who told of going out and looking at the foundation that was in place for a huge skyscraper. Massive building, Miami, Florida. But instead of a skyscraper, there was a little shanty that had been built on the foundation. A little shanty. A little squatter's hut. That's all. And they said it was such a dramatic contrast. You look out and here's this massive foundation for a great building. But all that had been built was a little shanty. It is altogether possible, dear one, that you who profess to know Jesus Christ are only building a shanty where God has called you to be building something of eternal value. Take care how you build. But I notice the other thing is not only take care how you build and what you build, take care with what you build. How do you do it? I heard the account of an older man who had been a builder for many houses, had been working for a general contractor, and he had a reputation as a man who worked quickly and did a good job. Well, he had become tired of all the hassles involved with construction, and he decided it was time to retire with his wife and spend the remaining time together in their rented home. When he approached the owner of the company, the word was given, not yet. I want you to build one more house. One more house before you retire. This is a house with a lovely overlook on a 2-acre lot. One more. Disgusted. The builder goes and he says, I was looking forward to retirement. I ought to be able to retire. I ought to be able to bail out. But I have to build this one more house. Well, he would get even with the owner. He would make a killing on this house. He would cut corners. And he would just cheat a little bit on every area where he could. He was cutting the corners and he was doing things. He knew the inspectors from his many years of building. And so they walked in and wink, wink. Hey. We'll let that go. We'll pass it. Okay. Off he goes. He builds. Things that should not have been passed, they passed. When the owner of the construction company came to check the house out and received the keys from the man for it to go onto the market, he asked the builder, he says, now, is everything as it ought to be? Oh, he says, here's the checklist. Everything's been inspected. It's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay. Okay. He said, are you pleased with it? Yes. He said, he said, okay. He said, before you retire, then he said, please hand me the keys. And the builder handed him the keys. And the general contractor turned around and he said, and now please open your hand. He said, here is the key. Here are the keys to your house. This is the house you have built, and I want you to have it as a retirement gift.
Oh! If I had just done it!
You and I are living daily in the body that God has given to us. You may know how to get around those who should hold us accountable. Wink. Nobody's going to ask any questions. I'll get away with that. I got away with that. You will not get away with God. God holds you accountable, and He will not wink on the day when He evaluates your work. It will go into the fire of God's judgment, and it will be consumed. Children, are you familiar with the story, the three little pigs? The wolf was coming, and they had the instruction to build a house. And so the one builds a house of straw, builds it quick and fast, and the wolf comes and whoo, whoo, and the straw house is gone. He runs and gets away to another house. And the second one had built his house of sticks. And he built a house. He was happy and he danced and he partied and so on. And meanwhile, here's the other pig, the third little pig. He was building his house of bricks, and he was trying to be careful, and they looked at him, ha ha ha, party time, party, what are you doing? You're building your house of bricks, I'm going to build it right. And they're partying, and the wolf comes to the second house. Woo! Blows his house down, and he runs away for his life. And they go to the third house. And the third house had been well built, and it stood. Take care how you build. Every day. You are building with God, not simply for God. God is present and He sees what you are doing. And He knows. God will evaluate your work. He will evaluate my work. And when that reward and loss comes, it's going to be significant. A very sad time for those who have said, I can take my options and I'm going to do it my way, when God has given us His way. Again, as I read from our Bible Presbyterian Constitution in terms of the Westminster Confession of Faith therein, speaking about God holding us accountable for how we work, and for Him giving us the instruction on what we are to do and how we are to do it. Once the time is gone, you can't get it back. It's gone. Redeem the time today. Your work is your responsibility. Your resource is God Himself. And your reward for your work depends on what you have built, how you have built it, and with what you have built it. I may be speaking to somebody here today who is completely outside of Christ and is trying to build your life on a different foundation. I plead with you, turn away from everything else. Only in Christ is a sure foundation. And if you don't know Him, you're building on a fault line that is going to leave you heartbroken under the wrath of God forevermore. Rather, come to the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. God, our Father, we count it a privilege to bow before You in this place and to give You thanks for those reminders and the instruction of Your Word, that our work is our responsibility, and we dare not treat it lightly. We ask, Lord, for Your working in our lives, and that You would bring us to see who we are, what we are doing, and what we are failing to do. And may we urgently come and place our all in Your hands through the merit of Jesus Christ. And I ask that our lives would not simply go up in wood, hay, and stubble, but there would be values and things that are present and living out in our lives that are a difference for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.